Good morning, everyone. Continuing today our series on the seven dimensions of the mind, and we're up to the fifth dimension, part two. Although the trained mystic can remain in intense states of the fifth dimension for long periods of time, the first experiences are generally brief, intuitive flashes. Yet even these seemingly short encounters represent vast mental, emotional, and spiritual adjustment. So potent are the superconscious forces. That's a very important point, something you don't normally read. In other words, it's easy to underestimate the value of short fifth-dimensional experiences. Say, well, that just was a couple of minutes long. Doesn't really matter that much, but Gurudev is saying even these short encounters, over time, they change the whole subconscious structure. One does not have to wait for a still small voice to speak. It is always there, a functioning part of the mind and not a once-in-a-while exhilaration. Knowledge comes from nowhere. That's the purpose of Zen Koan, to awaken the intuitive faculty that transcends the reasoning mind. Ask a question. Get an answer simultaneously. Knowledge comes right out of the light, right out of nowhere. Koans are carefully chosen questions that cannot be satisfactorily answered from the third or even the fourth dimension. The monk must reach deeper and deeper until he can get that intuitive vision. These strata operate totally separately from the third dimension and are extremely fascinating. However, the advanced jnani is not concerned with the intricate workings of the fifth dimension, which are vaster in their ramifications in the outer worlds. He is more concerned with stabilizing kayif, pure consciousness of the seventh dimension, and with that, beyond the stilled mind, the self-God. He knows that the fifth dimension is there, already totally unfolded, already perfect, already functioning to guide life along according to the spiritual laws. This is a point Gurudeva makes regularly in talking about these inner dimensions. Made the same point about the sixth dimension. Now he's making it about the fifth, which is we can become intrigued with the ramifications of these dimensions before we've really stabilized ourselves in kayif and im kayif. And if that's the case, then knowledge of these dimensions is actually a barrier. We've created a new obstacle. When we start, we just have one obstacle. Gurudeva says the intellect is the greatest obstacle. But if we allow ourselves, the fifth dimension can become an obstacle and the sixth dimension can become an obstacle. If we get too involved in it, as Gurudeva says here, get involved in all the vast ramifications. Religious people are mystics who have plunged deeply into the fifth dimension and come out of that experience in a new channel, acquire a firm sense of mission or calling. They feel reborn, awakened, transformed. The world is suddenly different, and their whole life has changed with an abrupt period of time, having gone into the fifth dimension and returned to the fourth through this new channel. They inwardly perceive the ability man has to transform himself in this very life. They often assume a spiritual destiny to fulfill the larger pattern. Still, other religious and mystical people have gone into the fourth dimension, unraveled profound insights, and brought forth great knowledge, and yet nothing changed within them. Why? They did not have the foundation, the control over the fluctuating forces of the second and third dimensions. And this alone kept them from going a little deeper into the fourth, where it mashes and melts into the fifth dimension. The second and third dimensions always demand awareness to return to them if it is not totally in balance. So it shows the importance not only of the emotions and the intellect, the third dimension, but the second dimensions, our physical surroundings. We need to keep it all in order, all very stable, so that it doesn't pull us out. For instance, if we are unkempt and messy in our housekeeping, if we strew clothing from room to room, that disorder is always nagging awareness, bringing us too far out into external consciousness and plunging us into the mire of I should haves, and well, it doesn't really matter. Dimensions are ordered and stabilized in crystal clear patterns of daily life. We never go deep. The foundation must be built first, and it must be strong. It is not advisable to overlook the importance of the most basic and ordinary daily chores and activities. No one wants to build the rest of the house only to have to take it down later to repair weaknesses in the foundation. Gurudeva continues to develop this idea of our foundation. The way to get stabilized in the fifth dimensional consciousness is to lead a positive and virtuous inner life and a positive and virtuous outer life. This simple act brings the subtle layers of existence to the forefront of awareness. In the initial stages of meditation, the fifth dimension seems extremely tenuous, almost non-existent or out of reach. Gradually, after years of sustained sadhana, we come to relate freely within its realms. It becomes very much a part of life as we discover it during meditations. Then later, in the midst of ordinary activity. When this happens, dramatic changes in our life manifest due to awareness migration to a new channel within the spinal column. Then Gurudeva starts to explain what he means by a new channel. If you visualize the Simshumbisi current as a cord of wires all together, awareness would generally flow through just one of them. In order to get into the next wire, it is not possible to jump across the hiatus in the middle. You must go to the top, to the fifth dimension, for that is the only opening. Most people are only aware of one or two currents and believe that is all that exists. Most devotees on the path have already experienced the rechanneling of awareness from the fifth dimension. They may not know what happened exactly or even when, but something did happen, and here they are seeking within, whereas before the within was perhaps a mental concept. Rechanneling could happen during an intense sorrow or joy, by meeting a holy being, or even during sleep. And we get our story. Stories are the best part. This is the story about the Gurudeva's discovery of the Shum language within himself, which involves the idea of a current. At our Ascona summer retreat, this theory that unfolded from within was going round and around in my mind. This is in 1968, right? So, 1968. And I began looking through several Sanskrit dictionaries to locate certain words that could be used in the Advaitin. So the Advaitin is a small booklet that Gurudeva wrote. But in three Sanskrit English dictionaries, each translator had translated each of the words in a different way. I threw up my hands at this and said, this is going to make it more confusing for my beginning students than if we didn't use Sanskrit, simply because of the differing translations. The feeling began to come that what was really needed was another language, a new, fresh language, one giving me a vocabulary that we could use to accurately describe inner states of consciousness. 2 or 3 days later, we traveled to Venice for a few days' excursion. This idea of a new language is still strong in my mind. It was in Venice that I decided to go deeply within and bring out a new esoteric language. So I went deep within and wrote down some instructions to my outer self as to how to go within and where to be able to unfold another language. My instructions were, you go within the Uda current of the Simshumbisi. That is the current of mind where language exists. In following the instructions, my spine lit up in a beautiful pale yellow and lavender light. Yellow and lavender intermingled, one color coming in and out of the other. It was just beautiful. But I only found one end of the Uda current and did not have any results in Venice. 3 days later, after returning to Ascona, Switzerland, while working within myself, I found both ends of the Uda current. Then in meditation, after coming out of Nirvikalpa Samadhi, I heard the tones of the Swadhisthana, the Anahata, and the Ajna chakras. Within 2 hours out of my inner mind came the script, the basic alphabet of 18 sounds, the syntax, as well as some of the basic vocabulary, like Simshumbisi, Vrumcheyudi, Kare Anna. The first word to be uttered was Shum. Shum now names the mystical language of meditation. As fast as I could, I wrote it all down and ran downstairs. As fast as I could, I wrote it all down and ran downstairs to one of the monks, shouting, I have it, I have it. Here is our language. As you would expect, in Shum, we have Uda. Yoga, Astral Shum Psychic Current, one of the 14 currents within the psychic astral spins, the one containing the Shum flow and perspective. So there's 14 currents. Uda is one of them. And we get the definition of Simshumbisi. One, feeling the actinic energy within the spine. Two, the pure life force, yellow in color, flowing through the spine and out into the nerve system. Three, the area of 14 strong psychic nerve currents of the sub-superconscious state of mind running along the spinal column. Four, the currents run up the center of the spine. Five, these 14 currents include the Vrumcheyudi and Karayana currents, term Pingala and Idda in Sanskrit. The central nadi within Simshumbisi is called Shushumna in Sanskrit. When a yogi lives in this current, his consciousness is that of a being, neither man, aggressive, nor woman, passive. And coming into the Sanskrit for the 14 currents, there are 14 principal nadis. So that's the Sanskrit word for these currents. 14 principal currents equals 14 principal nadis, of which the three that are most important are Idda, Pingala, Shushumna. The remaining 11 of the main nadis are Gandhari, Hastajivva, Yashasvini, Pusha, Alambusha, Kuhu, Shankini, Sarasvati, Payasvini, Varuni, Vishvodara. Along with the Idda Pingala and Shushumna nadis, the Sarasvati nadi originates in the khanda of the Muladhara chakra, terminates in the tongue. In India, it is a common saying that Sarasvati, the goddess of speech, knowledge, and the fine arts, lives on the tongue. It runs parallel to the Sushumna and is a complementary channel. So my guess is that the Sanskrit description of Sarasvati and the Shum description of Uda both referring to the same current, which is the current of language. So if anyone wants to create their own language, you just have to get into the Uda current. Wonderful day.